just setting up that process of like, here's a planning calendar, which I provide them and train them, planning that out, spending that time to do it. Here's a tool like Canva to go and create marketing graphics super easy, publishing tools to get your social media out there. And so once you have that process in place, it's less overwhelming.
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals, but the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. Hi, and welcome back to Hack My Business. This is Jesse Torres, host and creator of Hack My Business. Great to be with all of you once again, and I am really thrilled today to be joined by a marketing expert and someone who I actually regard as a trusted advisor to my own business, Patty Ross, CEO of Golden State Marketing, a digital marketing services and promotional products firm. We're going to be talking today about how do you develop great marketing plans, marketing resources for entrepreneurs. And I also definitely want to get Patty's tips around cost-effective approaches to marketing for us small business owners. But Patty, thank you so much for coming on Hack My Business.
You're welcome. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So Patty, tell us about your background and your own entrepreneurship journey. We'd love to hear about it.
Oh gosh, well, the accidental entrepreneur. So back in 2006, I was working for a wine industry software company up in Napa and was planning on leaving there, helping my then husband with his business. And a couple of the winery clients through this wine software said, hey, we still need your help. So they just said, hey, can you still help us? And I started my business. First business was called Virtually For You. And it was all in the wine industry, helping them virtually with customer service and wine club support. And just grew from there. Just one, it was all referral based. I always harken back to those days because I said, I didn't do any marketing. I said, I remember building a website and never finishing it. And I had business cards, and I don't remember if I even handed any out. It was just straight on referrals from other wineries, and built my business and had a good thriving monthly marketing business. And it was at that point mostly just the virtual services. And then as social media came along in 06, 07, that added to it. So it wasn't a purposeful, like, I'm going to start my own business. You know, I always worked for somebody else and had jobs with somebody else and kind of just accidentally started it.
It's great to hear about your background in wine. We'll definitely have to explore that a little bit further at another time. Well, you know, I have like just one really kind of basic opening question around marketing. And that is like, what makes up the building blocks of a great marketing plan? Because I think for many entrepreneurs and our audience, I would say is, you know, primarily early stage entrepreneurs, maybe, you know, definitely less than 5 employees for the most part, people who are, you know, often just getting started. And so thinking about marketing, can it be a pretty hairy, you know, goal? So what do you recommend as far as like, what are those early basic building blocks that you should have as part of that marketing plan for yourself?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. So I teach a marketing plan class, and the basic building blocks are just, you know, it's funny because as I just told you the story about how I accidentally became an entrepreneur, there was no thought put into it, right? And if I followed my plan back then, I'm like, gosh, what would have been my plan? But really setting goals. If you have, hey, I have a great idea, a great product, a great service, you know, setting the goals for what it's going to be, how you're going to sell it. And then the biggest thing, part of the marketing plan, I say it's kind of the unlocks the key, is who is your target audience or audiences, and really honing in on that. Because if you don't know who your buyers are, you're not going to know where to market to. You're not going to know how to sell it, who wants it. So that to me is key. And then knowing, is anybody else out there doing this? Are there competitors out there, big or small? And how do they sell it? And is there room for you? You know, that seems to be a missing component. Not that there's not room for competitors, but, you know, just really knowing your marketplace out there. And then just what does your brand look like? Who is it? What does it look like, and who is it going to speak to? Those are kind of the cornerstones of a marketing plan that tend to be missing. You know, maybe we throw together a cute logo and that's our brand, right? And put up a website with that cute logo. But really, does it really speak to your ideal audience? You know, if you do that first before you really know who your audience is, I think that's, to me, the building blocks of a good marketing plan.
Is that where people get it wrong, where they think that, you know, for the most part, where they think, you know, that a logo is essentially the marketing plan? And is it really just not thinking about the larger context of what they're actually trying to do with their company? Is that what you found where people or small business owners really kind of get it wrong when it comes to developing their own marketing plan?
Yeah. Logo is not an entire plan, but for some it seems to be, or they have an idea for a logo and the logo falls short. You know, it's like you can't, I've seen this recently, like they try to put two letters together and make it into a butterfly and you're trying to read like, what is that exactly? But yeah, and again, it might be, oh, the cute butterfly works, but that doesn't really appeal to your target audience. Like they would look at it and that's not me. So yeah, it seems to be a place where people go, you know, they say, I have to have a logo. And they like what they like. Like I said, well, I'll just put everything in the color purple because it's my favorite color. But I wound up not doing everything. I looked at, you know, different design and aesthetics and things. Not my current logos, but my first logo. Obviously, in the wine industry, you're like, oh, I'll do a wine bottle. You know, that made sense, right? Appealing to that target audience. But yeah, that's, you know, a logo does not make a plan.
Yeah. I think, you know, the real kind of key thing there is that putting together an effective marketing plan takes a lot of thought, a lot of energy. You know, just so our listeners know, you and I got connected together through a business advising program that's being operated through the LA Chamber. And you're actually helping me, you know, think through some of my own marketing from my own firm, because I really haven't been doing a whole lot of kind of B2B outreach. You know, I've been doing a lot of kind of referral kind of work. And I got to tell our audience that, you know, you have a really great homework assignment that you give to new clients, asking them to really think through things like, who is your audience? You know, what are you actually trying to sell, essentially, right? Who are your competitors in that space? Just all those things you shared earlier. And that is, like, you know, really helpful to just kind of do that, because you really had to sit down and really think about all those responses. And, you know, for me, it did feel like, oh my gosh, this in itself is a really important thought exercise. You know, marketing isn't just about having the logo, like just what we said, it's something much more deeper, and it needs to be tied in with our strategy. I guess my next question would really be around, okay, if say you create, you know, what you think is a really strong marketing plan, you know, basically, especially if you're early stage, right? You're not even quite sure exactly what direction you're going to go in, you know, entirely with your business, right? But so say you start implementing, you know, should you be tinkering with it, you know, as you go along? You know, is it like almost like a strategic plan where you implement and then you revisit, you know, at certain intervals? Or how do you advise small business owners when it comes to modifying their plan?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, especially as things have changed over the last 2.5 years, we people have had to pivot, pirouette, reimagine whatever their businesses because of COVID. And, you know, and beyond that, when we get kind of out of the pandemic stage, and you should be like, I'll just use my restaurant client as an example, right? I started with them 2019. So pre-pandemic, who would have thought a couple of years later, we have to now have a QR code menu, you know, and that's more operational, but it's also marketing, because that's, you know, how people are doing business now. You need QR codes and digital menu boards and different things that you need to accommodate what's happening now. So just operationally, you should recheck and reevaluate, but your marketing as well. Things change, your audience might shift, how, you know, social media is always moving along in different directions. So it's always a good idea just to evaluate it. And hopefully they're looking under the hood to see what's working and what's not, you know, and then that's going to be your shift. Like, well, we're spending all this time on Instagram and maybe we should be looking at email because that's doing better, you know? So yeah, always looking at it and reevaluating it as often as you can. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because it's interesting. I do a lot of disaster related work. And one thing we always advise people when creating a disaster plan is to have a regularly scheduled interval at which you evaluate that plan, because to your point, things change. But I guess it's also really important to remind people that if you're in the state of a crisis, like a global pandemic, that maybe instead of just adhering to, say, your set intervals, right, is to evaluate when it feels right to evaluate. Because I saw that too, you know, we had, you know, in supporting the restaurant industry, where people quickly had to make decisions and change marketing plans and get to learn new tools because the world had changed and almost overnight, right? And if you're not keeping up with the current times, you're going to find yourself at a real disadvantage. I am curious, you know, how do you advise people when, say, things just aren't working out? You know, the plan they thought they put together right, they thought they did it effectively, but when they actually start the rolling out of their plan, things just aren't working or aren't gelling. Like, how do you recommend that they, should they restart? Should they try to modify those things that aren't working? Or how do you advise them on that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, in some cases, it might be that what they're doing is just, there's no audience for it. They chose the wrong audience. They've tried everything. But also, too, you have to look at it realistically. How much time did they put into it? Were they expecting to build a website, get their product out there, and 2 weeks later, a month later, have customers? So always looking at, like, what have you been doing? Are you speaking to the right audience? Are you in the right places at the right time? And then just really looking at, is there a market for this? I kind of going back to COVID when it first came, we first started this, and I said, you could say here in LA, right, we're on freeways a lot, and you're on the freeway, and a lot of us could have, like, literally went off the freeway, right, just off a cliff, instead of just, hey, I'm just going to merge into the next lane, you know, or make that slight left or slight right yield. Businesses have to look at the ability to yield slightly when they need to, and just always, I said, you have to look under the hood and evaluate, and know, hopefully you're not, you know, like, I'm just spending thousands of dollars on Google ads and, you know, months later it's not working. I'm like, well, that might have been a little too long to spend on Google ads if they're not working. But yeah, very important to always kind of be ready to change lanes if necessary, you know, but look, being realistic, to give it some time, or, you know, making sure you're, like, a lot of people do ads and they say it didn't work. I'm like, how did you target the audience, or did you? Oh, well, I didn't, or just put people in a 5-mile radius, but everybody. I'm like, well, that might be why, you know? So it's a lot to look at before you kind of give up or switch gears.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can really appreciate that, because, you know, sometimes it is a root cause issue, right? You know, it's not like you picked the wrong platform or the wrong social media kind of effort. Your original design might be a little bit off because, say, you didn't spend the time to really think about your audience, or maybe even your competitors, you know, to really think about how are they going to react when you enter the market and start taking action, right? So yeah, again, just to kind of reiterate, you know, spending a whole lot of time and effort into that, you know, really thinking through the building blocks of your marketing plan can really just save you a lot of time and headache, you know, down the road, because those cosmetic fixes you try to make down the road really won't make any difference, because you're just, where you're starting from isn't going to make, you know, isn't as strong as it should be. Like I say, you know, we do have an audience of some early stage companies. And so budget is always on everybody's mind. You know, how do I be cost effective? Especially now in this day and age where you do hear quite a bit about people getting viral moments, you know, having sudden success through not a whole lot of effort. But what are the real kind of cost effective strategies that you would recommend to a small business owner, someone who's just getting started off, a sole proprietor, right, who maybe just doesn't have a whole lot of budget to launch, you know, a real kind of major campaign? But what are some key cost effective strategies that you can recommend to them?
Yeah, and it is a tough one, because I always say in my classes, I said, are you, you know, budgeting for marketing, or are you waiting to make sales but have a marketing budget? You know, you're not going to get sales without the marketing. So if you're kind of like, well, as soon as I have money, I'll be able to hire you. You know, I hear that all the time. I'm like, that should be first. But yeah, a lot of us have to kind of view the cheap and easy guerrilla marketing. I mean, if you're doing it yourself, I mean, it's your time, right, and energy to be consistent with social media, build an email list, do email. Email marketing is one of the best marketing tools out there, best return on investment. So those are relatively inexpensive things to do. It's, again, your time and effort, maybe a couple of tools. here and there to do it. So, you know, the big money spent on, say, Google ads, if you're doing digital or TV, radio, billboards, all that type of stuff. But just start out simple, you know, start out with the low hanging fruit. You know, like I said, social media and things are relatively free to get on, you know, other than the cost of labor and some tools, you know, and then kind of work your way up before you're spending larger money on bigger tools. And make sure you have all those other pieces in place, where your audience is, who your audience is, where they are, and then you'll determine if you need to, you know, splash out a billboard ad.
Yeah. And I think that's also kind of, again, reemphasize the point, knowing your audience is really key, because if your audience isn't the type that really is on social media or using different platforms, you can waste a lot of time and effort, you know, buying a campaign or doing, you know, something on, say, TikTok when your audience isn't there. Mm-hmm. Definitely appreciate your comment around that there's essentially a cost to everything. So although emails might be easy or, you know, especially like a more cost-effective tool, there's still a lot of work that goes into the design of the email, right? Figuring out the right wording, and that is your own hourly rate, you know? So although it may be inexpensive to actually send out or use, so the tool might be cheaper, the 8 hours you're going to spend crafting the right message because you want to take time and effort to do it, that's an expense, and you need to build that in. You really got to be thoughtful about how you're going to do that. So I really appreciate that comment, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they really kind of forget that. They forget about their own time and effort being a cost factor when it comes to this type of work. So I really appreciate that. Definitely. You know, when it comes to resources, you know, folks, so I'm lucky in that I come from a world of federal small business programs. You know, I understand, you know, acronyms like SBDC and WBCs, NABO, National Association of Women Business Owners. I'm sure that you have a lot of resources that you can recommend to entrepreneurs who need help with all this, you know, in crafting a marketing plan or getting some great advice. What do you recommend to folks who need those types of resources?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a few you mentioned. I mean, one that I'm definitely way behind or a supporter of is SCORE. So it's known as the Service Corps of Retired Executives, but they don't really use an acronym, but SCORE.org. They have 300 chapters nationwide. I teach classes for about a dozen chapters across the country for SCORE. And other than webinars, they have all types of business resources at any stage of your business, downloads, business plans. They have free mentors in just about every business discipline. So I was just talking to somebody today that they, especially here in LA and Southern California, there's a fire hose of resources, but a lot of business owners just either don't know they're there or which ones to use. Like, you could go to SCORE, SBDC, and all of the others, and acronyms I know and you know. So which one should you go with? But I'd say overall, if I just say go to one, go to SCORE, because there are chapters everywhere, and you can use the resources of all of the chapters if you want. But SCORE.org will send you to your local chapter, and you can have even a national mentor. Now, with virtual mentors, I could have a mentor in Texas or Florida or California or my local chapter. So great, great resource to have in, depending on where you're dialing in from the country here. But all the other ones you mentioned, SBDCs, and look at your local, you know, LA County has business resources. The state has business resource pages. So they're really starting to, I mean, even the SBA small business and even women-owned small business resource centers they have as well. The WBCs, the Women Business Centers across the country, you know, are great resources. They kind of do a lot of the same things. That's why I say SCORE is kind of the one that's, hey, they're everywhere. And I love teaching for them as well. So they have a lot of great resources there.
I love that you mentioned SCORE, because I don't recognize them enough. You know, SCORE is just one of the strongest members of the U.S. Small Business Administration family of resource partners, as I like to call them. And, you know, to Patty's point, these are folks that are, you know, essentially retired executives for the most part, folks who've been there, built amazing companies, and now giving up their own time to work one-on-one with small business owners or provide some really great training. So definitely want to give them a shout out. As far as, you know, if people are interested in kind of researching marketing trends, are there any publications that you keep an eye on, any websites that people should be accessing or taking a look at from time to time to really kind of help understand their industry?
Gosh, that's a good question, because there's so many that as a marketing person that I follow that may be more kind of industry stuff going on. But Social Media Examiner, they're an online website, newsletter source, or a couple. I mean, Email Marketing Association, the member or AMA, American Marketing Association. But generally, there is a ton of information out there. And I just say, you know, if you're looking for email information, if you're using an email provider like MailChimp, Constant Contact, for example, they all have their own blogs, newsletters, and things, of course, to kind of guide you on what's the latest and greatest out there. Because there's just so many to tap into out there. But in marketing, you know, it tends to niche a little bit. So we'll just talk about social media or email marketing or Wi-Fi or text marketing. So it tends to be a little more segmented. There are a ton of great resources just to Google. Definitely sign up for those newsletters for your email platforms you're using. Even the social media ones, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera, they all have their own, you know, marketing resources as well. They'll help you. Facebook or Meta, they have a lot of business resource pages as well. So I think just go Facebook for Business or rebranded Meta for Business and give you a lot of tips and tools that way. Good start.
That's great advice. I mean, you know, these tools, they have definitely an interest in making sure that their platforms are being used effectively. So, and I know to your point that they often have their own kind of business resource page. So it definitely behooves folks who are interested in advertising or using those tools to go sign up for the newsletters, you know, do the research on those pages. Just to give a shout out to my insurance provider, they actually put out a really great email newsletter. Shout out to Hartford Insurance that covers all kinds of these different things on marketing, you know, the latest trends around digital communications, all kinds of stuff. So I definitely give them a shout out, but thank you for suggesting that. You know, there's so many interesting marketing trends. I mean, just, I don't know what it was, but I think during pandemic, this explosion of, especially, you know, kind of TikTok trends, you know, influencer kind of driven vehicles. There's so much out there that is so interesting when it comes to marketing, especially because people have had to pivot and change their business models in very drastic ways. But what are you looking at? You know, as a marketing expert, what is fascinating you the most right now when it comes to marketing?
Oh, gosh. Wow. You know, there's definitely new ways of marketing your business. I mean, things that are not brand new, but other than social media, I mean, text marketing and she said social media influencers, retargeting. I think way back in the day, early email, if you remember, kind of we call it marketing spray and pray, right? You send the same message out to everybody and you hope and pray that it's going to get to the right people. And we would get non-target, I'll just use this one as an example. If you remember, everybody, male, female, would get those Viagra emails. You know, I'm like, well, you have 50% chance, right? But not targeted. Now, you know, and I have friends who are a little paranoid about, you know, the hyper-targeting, like a retargeting of ads. When you look at something, then it suddenly shows up on your social media page. Like, I was just looking at that over there. How'd they follow me? As a marketing person, that's the beauty of it. It's not anything new and that you're asking me about, but I think we're getting better and better at targeting, you know, and making sure that, and yes, there is a, I don't want to say invasion of privacy, but a sense of like, hey, if you're going to be out on social media, you're going to be giving up. You put a lot of information out there, but only for the better. So they know I'm a female. I don't need the male ads. You're a male. You don't need the female ads. Hey, if I'm only interested in, you know, wine and pugs and motorcycles, then that's all I want to see on my Facebook. I don't need to see all the other stuff. So I think really hyper segmenting and is, you know, I'll say a trend, but something that's getting better so that we can work through all the noise that's out there, because there's so many distractions and so many things coming at us. Like, I only want to receive emails that are really targeted to me, or see what's on social media or websites that are targeted, or helping me from my distraction of like, hey, you were looking at that thing on that website. Do you still want it? And an ad pops up when I moved over to look at CNN or another website. So, you know, there's always going to be the latest and greatest kind of trends out there, the viral things you're talking about. And that's tricky too, because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you just get on TikTok and you'll become viral and, you know, you make a million, right? Or get on YouTube star. And yes, it does happen, but for the most part, it's not going to happen for everybody, you know? So I think it's, when we see it, we assume it's that easy, but, you know, it does take some work to get even that and some luck, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can't tell you the number of times I've felt so angry that I've been so delighted by the hyper-targeting of myself, you know, that the advertisers have really figured out exactly what I want at particular moments and, you know, begrudgingly have bought products because they knew exactly what I wanted at the right moment. But also the sophistication of that, you know, the understanding, just the, you know, the ability to really kind of pierce through and understand, okay, based on patterns or even things you'd search for, we anticipate that this is going to be the next thing you want. So it really is a kind of amazing because I too remember those days where you would get strange ad requests or, you know, or pushes. You're like, this entity has no understanding of what I'm all about. Now it's like the other side of it, you know, where they really understand what you're all about, which would be kind of interesting to be on that side of the world.
Yeah. And you have to, you know, I was going to say too, an example of just looking under the hood at your information that I had a wine industry client. They weren't a winery. They were an importer from Burgundy. And they hired me to do email marketing. They're like, hey, our list is dying out. They're literally dying off. Older market, older list. But they never looked under the hood of why people dropped off the list. And when I did that, they said, well, you know, he was very prolific about doing his email campaigns. He would do specials all the time. But the problem was these were like case specials. So they even discounted. They were $500-$1,100 deals. And he got people who purchased that, but the people who dropped off had never purchased above, say, $300. So if all of your deals are $500, $700, $900, $1,100, you're not speaking to them anymore, right? So you've lost the segmenting to that. And people hadn't purchased for a couple of years. I go, well, let's send them out some $300 deals. And guess what? We raised the dead, not the literal dead, but we raised the dead. So before you go out there and do anything fancy, right, any new thing to build your list, it's like, what happened to all of these people? Did you stop speaking to them? Did you really, I cringe. It's not my money, but it's his. I cringe to think of that lost opportunity cost. For 2 years, those people were not purchasing even $300 at a time. So you just, you know, start multiplying the dollars lost because he stopped speaking to them a few years ago and just like started doing bigger deals. If you're not paying attention to that and you're like just chasing new, it costs more money to get a new customer, right? So why not go after that? And those people are now purchasing on a regular basis because now you're speaking to them again.
That's a great tip to always be thoughtful about the clients that support you along the way and be thinking about how you can be of added value to them. Because I think, it can be very tempting to just try to move forward on the new, right? Instead of looking back and seeing who supported you in the past. I am curious, you know, if there's any firms out there or even, you know, I mean, not just firms that have really kind of wowed you with their marketing, but in general, you know, who does it best? You know, and why are people successful when they do the marketing? You know, what are you seeing that really kind of helps them stand out when it comes to their own marketing strategies?
Yeah, I don't really have anybody in particular that I've seen late that I'm like, whoa, that's the greatest marketing, you know, efforts ever. Mine is really consistency, that I see businesses who are regularly sending out, giving an example, this was in 2016, wine industry. I was doing a presentation for the wine industry on email marketing. And I had about a month, and this was up in San Luis Obispo County. So 300 or so wineries, less than 300 at the time. And I went to every single winery's website and looked for an email newsletter sign up. And then I signed up. And I, 30 days, and I checked when I got an email, and I should receive at least one in a month, you know, during that time. And I presented the results to the audience there at the class. And it was amazing that only about, you know, at 200, I think 220 wineries were the numbers that I visited, 120 had an email sign up. And out of that 120, only about 17 sent me an email in that month period. And about seven of them were in the class that attended, interestingly enough. And a couple sent a few. And then I stayed on the list, and this was August of that year. And then I waited, okay, Christmas, this should be increased. And I go, bumped up a little bit, you know, and even years later, I'm still on these lists. And it's like, again, I signed up for your list and I want to hear from you. And you ignored me 100 or so. Some of them didn't even give me a chance to sign up. You know, so for me, when I see that, you know, I get excited when I see I sign up for a list and I might get an email and I'm just getting a regular email, or people who weren't doing emails before are now getting out there and getting excited about it. I had a winery client, it was just around the late 2020. So already in pandemic, the winery shut down. She's up in a little county up in Northern California, and, you know, pickups and deliveries only. And she just didn't embrace email marketing and social media as much. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do, you know, what to talk about. And I just gave her some tips on what to do and how to do social media and emails and, you know, tools to do it. And I just got really excited seeing her, you know, sending out more emails, doing more social media posts, you know, building back that brand awareness, before, you know, as her winery was going to reopen again. You know, so that type of stuff, as opposed to, like, you know, a wow campaign out there. It's just companies that are embracing it and being consistent, especially the ones that haven't been using it before and are now like, wow, okay, I can do this. And it works.
Yeah, I love it. I love when people are really genuine with their approach, because it really kind of shines through their messaging, you know, that they're being earnest and really trying to connect with the audience, even if they might be maybe not as sophisticated in their approach. But sometimes that's actually a little bit better, you know. I was actually shocked, you know, in helping. I did get the opportunity to help some small business owners directly during pandemic. And, you know, I was always really surprised when people didn't want to try to change, you know, that they were so uncomfortable with the idea of adopting a new technology, or maybe just scared. I mean, do you encounter that too, where people are just kind of overwhelmed or scared by the technology? And what do you recommend for those to help them kind of get over that?
Yeah, definitely. I see it every day. Well, my chamber clients, advisory clients, and one thing, a theme that I've noticed this past week especially, is they get overwhelmed with not having a process in place. So if they're going to do their own social media and email, they're like, they get to that, like, okay, I post up something, and then, you know, oh, next week, oh, I forgot I have to post again. What do I post about? So if just setting up that process of, like, here's a planning calendar, which I provide them and train them, I think you saw it, and planning that out, spending that time to do it. Here's a tool like Canva to go and create marketing graphics, super easy. Publishing tools to get your social media out there. And so once you have that process in place, it's less overwhelming. I mean, you still have to create the graphics and stuff, but there's tools out there. And that's where I find is the overwhelm, and where the stuck happens is they just don't know what to post. And like that winery I mentioned, what to post, what to do on emails. And you have to plan that time out. I say, don't just say, oh, okay, when I have time, I'll get my social media done. Mark it on your calendar. Put it as an appointment on your calendar. Every Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. is your social media batching time, you know, where you create plan, you create your graphics and schedule them. So that's definitely the one place that I find that they tend to get stuck, is just just having that process in place does tend to help. I've seen some of my clients go from 0 to 60, you know, just with those few tools in place. If you hate it, it's hard to get over that. If you hate social media, it's like your parents force feeding you something you didn't want to eat as a child, right? We don't want to do it. But I think usually it's that process that they get, they don't like. You know, it can be once I show them some tools and like, here, you can do this real quick. And I showed you how, in 10 minutes, I showed you how to create 3 or 4 posts quickly and publish them. Use those tools, and then it becomes maybe a little bit more fun for them, hopefully.
Yeah, great advice. I love the idea of building in consistency, you know, using prompts, use the tools that you have available, you know, whether it's a calendar notice, and that I do that myself, you know, a reminder, hey, you know, spend a little bit of time thinking about, you know, whatever marketing activity I need to do, but just build it in so you're not relying on your own memory or your own, you know, scheduling practices to do it. Use the technology to help you do all of that. Patty, I know, you know, I'm using you right now as an advisor for my own business. How can people get in touch with you if they could use your expertise or, you know, want to keep track of your work? What's the best way that they can find you?
Well, two easy ways. I always offer a free strategy session. So you can just go to callwithpatty.com. And my website is goldenstatemarketing.net. You can find that same strategy session link on there as well. But free to pick my marketing brain and do a strategy session and ask questions and if I can help you even through figuring out who your buyers are. I call that a therapy session now. Like, we sit for an hour. It's like therapy of like, okay, who really is your customer? Let's talk about it.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being on Hack My Business and sharing your tips and techniques. It sounds like it's really all about foundational principles, you know, thinking about who you're trying to reach, thinking about what messaging you're using and what your brand, what you want your brand to be all about, and definitely knowing your audience. But I really appreciate you being on Hack My Business. Thank you again, and looking forward to seeing you in person sometime soon.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Jesse.
If you need help and want to be a part of our community and find resources to grow your business, join us at our website at smallbusinessfront.com. We'd love to see you there. Have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.